your way to the book of Genesis chapter 2, verses 20 through 24 is where we're going to start. And then we're going to flip back to Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. But before we do this, I want to just kind of introduce this series just a little bit. I've been promoting this for a little bit. You guys know that it was coming. It's called Women of the Bible. It's a sermon series that is based off of 12 women that we're going to study here over the next 12 weeks. And if you have your outline with you this morning, flip it over. You'll see a list of the ladies we're going to look at and study and look how God used them and what they did in the kingdom of God as well. And so there's another question on there I want you to be aware of as well on the bottom. If there's a lady on there that you would like to study and you'd like to hear a message on, please let me know. Because there are way more women in the Bible that we could study and that we could look at their lives. And so if you have one that interests you or you want to know more about, let me know. This series will run right up until Easter. We'll break for Easter, and then we'll continue on if there's any more ladies that we'd like to study in Scripture and take a look at. So I am fine with that. And so if you have more, please let me know. Another thing I want to tell you about is that a lot of the stuff that I'm studying right now, I'm using from Pastor John MacArthur, who you might hear on the radio. He is part of Grace to You Ministries. And so he's done a lot of work on women in the Bible. And so I've been using some of his resources to put my sermons together and so on as we look at these different ladies. And so I need to give credit to him as well as I use his materials. And so we're going to start this morning with an introductory sermon that's based on what this sermon as a series will look like. And so you might feel it might have a little bit of a Mother's Day tone to it as well. So, but that's not what I'm after. I'm after the whole point of what's God doing here as he creates woman and so on. Another disclaimer I want to make is I'm a pastor. I am no expert in understanding women. So do not think that I know that. All right? I am not claiming that. So that is an ongoing process for me, and I would bet that most men would agree with me. That we, you know, and we're that's always evolving and changing, trying to understand who women are and the way they act and just the way God made them. So I am not an expert in that, so do not hear me say that today. So, but we are going to learn how God used these women in great ways. And you're going to see it's such a broad range of women as well, and where they are placed in families and what they did for a living and how God used them. And so you're going to see in the list that, I mean, it's from riches to rags. And that's what we're going to study in these 12 women. And it's definitely how the kingdom of God works as well with people. God doesn't care about status. God doesn't care about wealth. He uses people where they're at and those that are willing to be used. And so we're going to see that in this series. So let's get started. In the book of Genesis is where I want to start this morning. And once we get into the next several weeks, we'll focus on these women and where they have their place in Scripture and so on. But I want to just start with Genesis 2, verse 20 through 24 this morning. So hear this from the Word of God. So the man gave names to all the livestock and the birds of the air and all the beasts of the field. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. And the man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh." And then turn with me to the book of Galatians, chapter 3, verse 28. You can find that about on page 1813 or so in Scripture. This is kind of a broad verse, but I want you to understand in God's eyes how we sit before God and how God sees us as he looks at us as a human race and so on. Verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. The reading of the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you've called us here this morning to hear your word. And Lord, as you speak to us your scripture today, we pray that you bless this series as we study the women of the Bible and what that looked like and what they're a part of. May your Holy Spirit fill this place. And Lord, for those that have gathered here, may you fill them with that spirit that you will teach them. And will they, Lord, will they draw in the information they need to know in their life? Help them to sort through this and help them to understand your message. And Lord, I pray too that these words are your words and never my own. And Lord, I pray that you fill me with that same spirit as I deliver this word today. In Jesus, I pray, amen. Christianity has greatly influenced the status of women. The early church father Tertullian wrote a work called On the Apparel of Women, sometimes toward the end of the second century. He said that pagan women who wore elaborate earrings, immodest clothes, and body decorations had been forced by society and its culture to abandon their femininity. He wrote that as the church was growing, one of the trends was towards modesty in women's clothing for believing women, and a corresponding elevation in the status of believing women in society followed as well when women would give their life to Christ. He even acknowledged that pagan men often complained. And they said this towards women who followed God and began to dress modestly in society. Ever since she became a Christian, she walks in poorer garb, is what the men said. Christian women were even known as modesty's priestesses in the second century. Tertullian went on to say that women believers who lived under the lordship of Christ were spiritually wealthy, more pure, and more glorious than the most extravagant woman in pagan society. One of the unique features of the Bible is the way that it exalts women, particularly godly women, which we have great examples from in Scripture that we're going to study here over the next several weeks. From the first chapter in the Bible, we're taught that women, like men, bear the stamp of God's own image. Women play a prominent role in many of the Bible's key narratives. Wives are seen as venerated partners and cherished companions to their husbands. God even commands children to obey your mother and your father in Scripture. Husbands are commanded to love their wives as Christ loved the church, even to the point of death, is what Scripture teaches. I also want to point out to you that the Bible teaches that men and women have ordained roles that we are to take on. And so here are just a few, not a complete list this morning. For example, women have a unique role in childbearing and nurturing little ones. On the other hand, men must provide for their wives, is what Scripture teaches. Scripture also establishes the proper order in family. Men are to lead their family spiritually, to provide, to care for, and to protect them at all costs. But yet women are not marginalized in this service, in the Scripture that we discussed this morning. They take their spot within the family. They take their spot within the workforce, which in the times we live in today. They take their spot in the kingdom of God, most importantly. Galatians 3:28 states that in God's eyes, everyone is equal. Men are not superior to women. A slave is not superior to whomever, or an owner of a slave is not superior in God's eyes to the slave that he owns, but we're all equal and we stand before God on the same plane. No one gender, No race or status make a difference when we stand before God. Look at the lives of their early forefathers. Look at their faith. Look at their wives who stand by them. And so let me just give you a few examples. Abraham gives respect to his wife Sarah. Rebekah is the prominent wife of Isaac, the son of Abraham and Sarah. Rachel, the wife of Jacob, the mother of Joseph and Benjamin. Now we got to go back a ways into the book of Genesis and so on to understand all this. King Solomon publicly paid homage to his mother Bathsheba. Every time she entered the room, he would stand before her out of honor for his mother. And every time he went to the throne, and if his mother was in his presence, he would bow to her. And then he would sit on his throne, knowing the respect that he had for his mom. And the list of women in Scripture goes on. Does anybody got a guess of how many women are mentioned in Scripture by name? Anybody want to take a stab at that this morning? There's quite a few. There are 110 women listed in the Bible by name that God used. But now by no means you're thinking, boy, I want to hear all 110. That's probably not going to happen. That'd be over 2 years worth of messages on the women of the Bible. But do you see their importance and the place that they take in the kingdom of God? God uses women in a great way, and I want to bring that out this morning. But let me also point out to you this morning that everything that I just talked to you about the importance of women in the kingdom of God, but in society, this stands at a very sharp contrast, because this is not how it always has been, and it still isn't this way today in the world that we live in, and the way that culture treats women. And I particularly think of ancient cultures. I think of cultures outside of our American culture as well, and how they treat and respect women. Women in pagan societies were often treated like animals and or property, to be bargained with, to be bought, and so on and so on. Women had no rights. They're often degraded in these pagan societies. And if you're wondering, what do you mean by pagan? What I mean by pagan is an ungodly society that believes in no God, or maybe a false God, is what I'm getting at. Many pagan religions tended to fuel this thought of women and who they were as a part of society. They downplayed them often. Roman and Greek mythology, you might have studied that when you were in school, but they had their women goddesses. And often these types of women goddesses would be used to degrade women because the form of worship involved prostitution as a way to respect the goddess they worshipped. Take a look at our culture today with the feminist movement that's taking place. Think about this. I'm gonna stretch you just a little bit here this morning. The feminist movement has devalued and defamed femininity, going directly against the teaching of God and what he intended femininity to be about. And I hope through this series that you will begin to grasp what did God want from women and how are they to be treated and so on in the world that we live in. You know, natural gender distinction is being denied today. It's being downplayed. The culture we live in today wants to eliminate gender roles. You hear it, you see it. You might even be part of it, you might even be bought into it. But the scriptures say it's so distinct of what genders are and the role that they play in the life that we live in. The feminist movement is fighting for neutrality of gender while downgrading the intention God has laid out for women in our society. The entire feminist movement is pushing that women should be just like men. And that is not what Scripture teaches. That goes against the Word of God. Now, don't hear me say that women are less and that God doesn't use women. That's not what I'm trying to teach her this morning. But what I'm trying to teach to you is that there's an important spot amongst the church and the kingdom of God that women need to take their place. And culture is trying to take that away. Trying to make you equal to men and so on in a very negative way that the Bible teaches. That's the point I want to make. You have your spot, ladies. God wants you to take that spot. He wants to use you in the kingdom of God. And so don't let the culture, don't let society steal that and take that away from you. Because Scripture honors women. And Scripture honors women as women and the role that they play as wives, the role that they play as mothers, the part that they take in society. Proverbs 31, if you were to go home and read, and I won't read it all to you this morning because of sake of time, you've heard of the Proverbs 31 woman in verses 10 through, I blink it is through 30. Gives you a great biblical example of what does God expect from women? How should they be? How should they act? And so on. I wrote down a few key things. What God lays out for the women is how she shall work, how she should care, how she should provide. And she does it well, and she's well respected within her confines of her family and in the community. That's what God expects. A woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. You know, you look on the screen in the last, in the verse 10, I believe it is, a woman for her value is more than rubies. It's what Scripture points out. Men, you need to realize this. That the women who call upon the Lord and sit amongst us, Scripture says, they are considered to be the greatest women in the world. That's what the Bible teaches. A godly woman are some of the greatest women in the world. Wow. And you sit amongst them. That's quite something. Think about it. You might know some pretty great women in your life, or you might have read about some great women, or you might think of some great women that have done great things in society or whatever, but the Bible says that godly women are the greatest women in the world. Amen to that. The most significant women in Scripture were influenced not because of their careers or their status, but because of their character. That's what makes them great. That's what makes them good before the eyes of the Lord. And so the message these women give in Scripture is not about gender equality, but about true feminine excellence in their lives and how they live their lives. They live a life of love, of grace, of patience, of kindness, a heart for people. And it's shown and it's lived out in their lives through their moral and spiritual qualities, rather than social status, our wealth, our physical appearance. 1 Peter 3:3-4 says this, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. That's what God looks at. That's what makes a godly woman beautiful, is how they live their lives before God. And we're going to look at women that are this way in their life in Scripture over the next several weeks. You know, godliness and good works are the true essence of feminine beauty. Wherever the gospel has spread, where it's taken root, social, legal, and spiritual status of women has elevated in their societies. The sad part is, wherever the gospel has been washed out or it's been depleted and no longer is followed, the status and the quality of the way that women are treated has downgraded and is less quite substantially in those societies and in those cultures today. And you can think about those cultures in the Middle East, about how women are treated and so on, in those ungodly pagan societies. So my attempt through these sermons over the next several weeks is to show you the faithfulness of these godly women and the lasting legacy that they leave behind in Scripture that we learn from. They will challenge you. You'll leave here some Sundays thinking, boy, I don't know if I agree with that. I don't know if I get that. I don't know if I believe in that. But let me tell you, that's what Scripture says. That's what Scripture teaches. That's the challenging part of it. I hope that they will motivate you, that some of these women have gone through some very hard, difficult things in their life, and they still remain faithful to God. I hope that this series will inspire you with the same love and trust for God that these women had, that it will strengthen your faith, and that may your heart be transformed by the way that these women lived out their lives and the roles that they had to play. They served and worshiped the same God that you and I serve and worship in their lives. And all of God's people said,